Look with me, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, one of my most favorite verses in all the Bible, where the Bible says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." I have no doubt that's a familiar verse, but let's look at it again. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Boy, context of that verse is everything. It's talking about Enoch on one side, Noah on the other. Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Well, what does that faith look like? What does that mean? We'll take a look at that in the Word of God this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We need you. And we thank you so much for the Word of God. We thank you, Lord, that you speak to us. You are a God who often may not be seen, but we see the evidence of your existence. But you are a God who is heard, and we hear you through your Word. And I pray this morning we'll have ears to hear. There are a myriad of distractions that could go through our minds this morning, but I pray that we would just settle down in a meeting with you as if it is just the individual and you, just me and you in an audience together, and may you speak to our hearts. Help us not to listen necessarily for what others may need, but help us to listen for what you have for us today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Please be seated. Boy, context is everything. I'll never forget 1991. It was a typical work day in a typical work week. And I remember I was in a room with five other people. There were two guys and three girls. And I remember that one of the guys was talking about his vacation. Suddenly, one of the gals in the room handed that guy a knife, and he plunged it into my abdomen. I still have the scar. I woke up on the third floor of the Riverside Community Hospital. I'll tell you a little bit more about that after we move through some things here, but I'm telling you, context is everything. What does it mean to please God and to walk by faith? What does that mean? I want to give you some things this morning just very, very quickly. And if I talk fast, please do not misunderstand that. That does not mean that we take these truths lightly. It just means that, like most preachers who come to chapel, no doubt, we have a truckload of things we want to give you that we think will help you in a very short amount of time. But if you would, look with me over to the book of Matthew. We'll spend a few moments there, and then we'll take a look to the Gospel of Luke. But Matthew chapter 8. So in the Word of God, what does faith that pleases God look like? Where are the passages where Christ commended somebody's faith? Where are the passages where Jesus taught about faith? I want to please God. I want to walk with God. And so if I'm going to do that, what is the faith that pleases him? I know we all know Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, but what does that look like in life? How does that flesh out? And I want to give you four things this morning, four things very quickly that describe a faith that pleases God. Four things that describe a faith that pleases God, starting in Matthew chapter 8, and look with me to verse 23. Familiar text. "But when he was entered into a ship," Matthew 8, 23, "his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful?" Catch these words, "O ye of little faith." I remember years ago I was serving as an interim pastor in the church where I was previously children's pastor. And it was time to preach, and I was going to preach on this business of, "O ye of little faith." So I looked at the parallel passage in the Gospel of Mark. In the parallel passage of Mark, Jesus says, "Why have ye no faith?" In Matthew, he says, "O ye of little faith." In Mark, he says, "Why have ye no faith?" Now, what did they have? Did they have little faith, or did they have no faith? The Bible never contradicts itself. What is it? And Jesus certainly wouldn't contradict himself. And the writers of the gospel under the inspiration of the Spirit of God would not have Jesus contradicting himself. So what is it? Is it no faith or is it little faith? And the answer to that, of course, is yes, it is. Because what we understand is that faith is not a matter of quantity. It's a matter of endurance. These men, in the midst of a storm, their faith sort of went out the window. Their faith was short-lived. The faith that they had was short-lived. See, the faith that pleases God is a faith that perseveres through testing. It's a faith that perseveres through testing. And you know the storms where Jesus tests of these disciples. And so their faith, once the storm came, it went out the window. It is a matter of faith is a matter of duration, not amount. It's a matter of duration, not amount. Would you say that with me? It's a matter of duration, not amount. We think if I could just gather up a little bit of faith, if I could just psych myself up and have a little bit of faith, that's not the issue when it comes to faith. It's not a matter of amount. It's not a matter of quantity. It's a matter of duration. These guys did not have trust in the Lord in the midst of their storms. The faith that pleases God trusts God in the midst of the storms. Bible college life is not an easy life. You're balancing all sorts of things. You're watching God meet your financial needs. And I hope you never lose the wonder over God meeting your needs. But you know, in the midst of a trial or a difficulty, you might decide, I don't think this is God's will for me. The Bible says if your strength fails in the day of adversity, or if your faith fails in the day of adversity, your strength is small, your faith is small. Faith that pleases God endures even through the testings. So stay faithful. Keep trusting God, even through the testings. Let me give you the second thing. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Boy, it seems like in the day and age in which we live, the thing that is the worst thing you could ever do to somebody is to offend them. To offend them. I have a friend of mine in our church. I bring him to church actually every week. That's probably why he's my friend. But I bring him to church, and otherwise he wouldn't have transportation. So I bring him to church, and every once in a while he tells me about running across a family that, you know, used to come to Calvary Baptist Church. And he tells me about the family, and my stomach starts to churn a little bit. Okay, why aren't they there? And he says, they got offended. They got offended. And I'm thinking, thanks, brother. Thank you for telling me about all these people that got offended that used to come to Calvary. But he also wisely knows that it was the truth that offended. Not the presentation of it, but the truth itself that offended. I wonder how many of us are still going to be faithful to the Lord 5 years, 10 years down the road, or I wonder if we're going to get offended and drop out. See, a faith that pleases God is a faith that endures testing. It's also a faith that endures insult. I love this passage in Matthew chapter 15. This is amazing. Look with me to verse 21. Where the Bible says, then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. Well, Tyre and Sidon were not typically Jewish places. They were not typically Hebrew places. They were Gentile places. And here's a woman who is not a Hebrew, she is a Canaanite. In other words, she is outside of the commonwealth of Israel. She is outside of the promises of Israel. And she seeks out Jesus. Notice what she said here. So she cried unto him, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. She knew the right words to say. Somehow this Gentile had heard about Jesus' marvelous power, but more than that, she had bought into the truth, as you see here, that he was the son of David, the rightful heir to David's throne. I mean, even the Hebrew people didn't recognize that, but this pagan woman recognized this. And you would think that immediately, whatever she wanted, Jesus would grant. So here's what we find in verse 23. But he answered her not a word. She says, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. In those words you read, I've done everything I can. and I'm absolutely helpless. I've poured my entire life in trying to help her, and there's nothing. If you don't intervene, we're goners. And Jesus ignores her. I read that and I think that's really inconsistent with the Savior that I know. He ignored this woman that had a need. He ignored this woman who recognized his right to the Davidic throne. So did she quit? No, then she started bugging the disciples. It says here in verse 23, his disciples came up beside him saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." She's relentless. And in verse 24, but he answered and said, "I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." First he ignores her. Now he makes it clear, you're outside of the boundaries of blessing. I am not come to the Gentiles. I am come to the lost house of the sheep of Israel. Verse 25, what does she do? The Bible says, then came she and worshiped him, saying, "Lord, help me." She's not quitting. Surely Jesus will answer her prayer now. Surely Jesus will do something now. But then this Savior of ours acts so uncharacteristically. Verse 6, but he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." Our Savior, the one who is compassion personified, just used a derisive term to refer to this Gentile, and it's the term that the Pharisees would use to refer to Gentiles. It's the term that the Hebrews would refer to the Gentiles by. He used the term dog. And you know, in Bible days, dogs were not the nice little domesticated pets that we have. They were scavengers. They ate trash. They ate garbage. They ran around in packs. They were hostile. They were ferocious. Occasionally in wealthy homes, you would find a domesticated dog, but typically they were mangy creatures. And Jesus just called her a dog. Does she go back home? Say, "Well, that's it. I've had it. He ignores me. He throws in my face. I'm outside of the blessings of Israel. He calls me a dog. I've had it." Jesus knew what was in her. He needed the crowd around him to see what was in her. Jesus knew about her faith. He needed the crowd around to see that faith. Jesus knows what's in your heart, and he may take you through some times where you're insulted. Don't run away because you're insulted. Don't quit because somebody trashes you. The world around you needs to see that Jesus is still worth pursuing and still worth following, even when you get trashed, even when you get insulted, even when you get offended. "Well, I'm not sure West Coast Baptist College is a school for me. I have trouble making friends." You persevere. Keep on keeping on, man. Just, and by the way, this is one of, like I said, one of my favorite Bible passages. Because I love what she does next. This lady's not giving up. Getting back into the context, verse 26, but he answered and said, "It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs." And she said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table." I just want a scrap. That's all I want. I just want a blessing. I just want a scrap. Verse 28, then Jesus answered and said unto her, "O woman, great is thy faith." Great because it's big? No. Great because it's persevering, because it continues on. He says, "Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." and her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Man, the Bible faith that pleases God, the Bible faith that's a part of the man or the woman that's walking with God, is a faith that perseveres even through tests. The people that you know, it's no accident that you know them, they need a front row seat to know that God is real, that He is worth following, that He is sufficient, that His grace is real. And so expect to go through trials, especially while other people are watching, so that they could see that your faith perseveres through. Not because we're so great in believing, but because we have a great God in whom to believe. We have a great God to trust. Faith perseveres. The faith that pleases God perseveres through testing, and it perseveres through insults. Or if you're into alliterations, it perseveres through trashing. Sorry about that. Not everybody's into alliterations. That's okay. Here's the third thing. Look with me over to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. Beginning in verse 14. It says, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, and for ofttimes he falleth into the fire and oft into the water, and I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him.' Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me.' And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, 'Why could we not cast him out?' And Jesus said unto them, 'Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you.' Notice this, howbeit this kind cometh not, or goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting." Now here we see this business of faith as a grain of mustard seed. We usually think of that then as a matter of quantity. If I just had faith the size of a mustard seed. Now, the fact is, you and I would have no problem psyching ourselves up to have that kind of faith. We could talk ourselves into believing something, and we would have no trouble generating a mustard seed size faith. But we're still not seeing mountains removed. This business of mustard seed faith must be something else besides this quantity issue. When you think of the mustard seed, the smallest seed in that region known at the time, it is a tenacious little seed. It goes into the ground, and it grows and grows and grows. And whether it's the blast of summer heat like we have in beautiful Yucca Valley, or it's the blast of winter cold, that mustard seed just keeps on growing, just keeps on growing, keeps on persevering, until ultimately it grows so big that the birds lodge in its branches. And Jesus was talking about that persevering faith. And the faith that pleases God perseveres through time. Through time. And apparently what happens is that the disciples, when they go to cast the demon out of this lunatic son, They lose faith. This is something that perhaps they hadn't come across it before. Perhaps this demon was particularly tenacious, particularly hostile. But the disciples didn't take the time to pray or fast. Praying and fasting are linked to faith in this chapter. Faith that pleases God perseveres through testing. It perseveres through insults. Don't give up on God, and don't give up on His local church, and don't give up on His plan for your life by getting offended. Can you imagine standing at the judgment seat of Christ, giving an account for our service to the Lord, and there's nothing to account for because we got offended? You think the Lord's going to say, "You know, I saved you. You were saved for X amount of years. We're looking for fruit in your life and, for the honor and glory of God. And there's just not any fruit there. Why not?" "Well, I got offended." So-and-so didn't treat me the way I thought I should have been treated. Somebody said something to me. I just couldn't forget it. Oh, and we expect them to say, oh, I understand. Yeah, I understand. Because, you know, I quit when I was offended too. Not at all. He kept on pursuing God's will and was obedient even to the death of the cross. Faith that pleases God perseveres even through being offended, being insulted. And it's a faith that perseveres through time. I need to give you this final thing. For that, look with me over to the Gospel of Luke chapter 17. The Gospel of Luke chapter 17. While you're turning there, let me just take a moment. I should have done this at the beginning, but I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I'm always hearing about the wonderful things that God is doing at West Coast Baptist College and Lancaster Baptist Church and Calvary Baptist Church in beautiful Yucca Valley. And Brother Getch forgot that word, beautiful. In beautiful Yucca Valley, we have the opportunity to have a couple of students here at West Coast Baptist College, and we're so thankful for your work and for your ministry. I'm thankful also for the friendship of Pastor Chapel. In Luke chapter 17, beginning of verse 1, the Bible says, Then said he unto his disciples, it is impossible that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the disciples said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Now, isn't that amazing? Here's a great passage on the subject of faith. If a brother trespasses against us, we go to him and we rebuke him with the intent of restoration. And if he repents, we forgive him. But let's say the very same day, just an hour later, he does the exact same thing. If he repents, we forgive him. And then the next hour, he does the same thing. I mean, three times, not just three times, not just four times, seven times in a day. And the disciples are thinking, wow, that's kind of a lot in one day. I mean, you would think after the fourth time, we'd learn not to get close to that guy. He's constantly trespassing against us. I don't know if I could forgive him. You know, by the fourth time, I don't feel like forgiving him. By the fifth time, I don't feel like forgiving him. Lord, increase our faith. We don't have enough faith to forgive. And you know, notice what Jesus said after that. He said, if ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him, by and by, when he has come from the field, go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. You know, the disciples say, Lord, if we're going to obey this thing on forgiveness, increase our faith. And Jesus says, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you know, you could do amazing things. And then he gives us this illustration. If you have a servant, and that servant's been out in the field all day working in the heat of the sun, and it's the end of the day, and the servant comes in, you don't say to that servant, hey, why don't you fix yourself dinner first before you fix mine? And why don't you slake your thirst before you take care of my thirst? Why don't you take care of your needs before you take care of my needs? And Jesus says, you don't do that. The servant takes care of the master's needs first. The servant takes care of the master's needs, fulfills the master's will. And by the way, when the servant does that, does the master commend the servant? Does the master say, wow, that's amazing. I mean, you went over and above and beyond to take care of my needs first, take care of my will first, to put my will over your will. I mean, that was amazing. You went over and above. And Jesus makes it very clear in verse 9, doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. That means, I don't think so. And then he says this, so likewise, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants which have done that which is our duty to do, which was our duty to do. Jesus says, hey, fellas, what you need is not more faith. You just need to obey. If somebody trespasses against you seven times in a day and seven times in a day repents, you forgive them. That's just obedience. It's not a matter of faith. It's a matter of obedience. Well, I don't feel like forgiving. If I do something but I don't feel like it, isn't that hypocrisy? Well, it's called obedience. Really? Did you get excited about midterms? Did you feel like taking midterms? But you took them anyway, didn't you? Bunch of hypocrites. No, you took them because that was a part of being obedient, part of fulfilling God's will in your life and pursuing the call God has on your life. Is everybody always excited to get up and go to work? Woohoo, going to work and working till you're exhausted. Wow. Not everybody's excited about that, but you do it anyway. Why? Because it's obedient. It's the right thing to do. Faith perseveres when trespassed against. Faith perseveres when trespassed against. Faith perseveres when hurt. It may not feel like, we may not feel like forgiving, but we forgive because it's the right thing to do. We forgive by faith. We commit a situation into God's hands and we forgive by faith. Faith perseveres when tested. Perseveres when insulted. Perseveres through time. And perseveres also when hurt or trespassed against. Context is everything. Let's go back to that day in 1991. That day that guy took that knife and plunged it into my abdomen. It was a regular work day. At the time, I was pastoring in Moreno Valley. But I wasn't at the church that I was pastoring. I was in an operating room. And indeed, there were five other people there, two doctors and three nurses. One of those doctors was an anesthesiologist. The other doctor was a surgeon. And yes, indeed, the nurse handed the doctor the knife, and he did plunge it into my abdomen. He was to remove my appendix. Context is so vitally important. So what is the context of a faith that pleases God? It is this. A faith that pleases God perseveres when tested. Don't throw in the towel. Don't quit. It perseveres when tested. Faith that pleases God perseveres when it is insulted, when it is offended. Faith in God perseveres through time. Faith in God perseveres even when hurt or trespassed against. Let's have a faith that pleases God. Maybe you're about ready to throw in the towel. Maybe you're about ready to quit. Maybe you're ready to give up. Maybe you're thinking, well, this place in my life, I'm not sure that this is the place that, it's for God. I'm not sure it's the place God has for me to be. You hang in there. Trust God. He'll give you grace and strength. Persevere. Don't quit. Don't give up. I know it's easy to say after midterms. Moving into a missions conference. But man, don't quit. Don't give up. Somebody offends you, take it to the Lord. Leave it with Him. He'll take care of things. Let people who know you have a front row seat to know that God is real. And you know, at the end of your Bible college days, you'll probably be the one that has a testimony that says, if anybody can make it, or if I can make it through Bible college, anybody can. Well, if I can make it through Bible college debt-free, anybody can. If God could use me, He could use anybody. Give people a front row seat to see that God is real. He's absolutely worth following. He's absolutely worth being loyal to without swerving at all.